The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
They do high tea here in Toronto. They've got it's a prison place, man. It's up by Swansea Park. It's like an old, is it the old mill?
Let's go to the old mill anyway. The old mill is cider.
Yeah, my cousins and my mother and my aunts used to go there for high tea.
It's the kind of thing that mothers and aunts go to.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Normally you go get a scone and you get a cup of tea and all that kind of shit.
Clotted cream, all that stuff.
Clotted cream, yes.
Yeah. Strawberry jam.
I mean, to be fair, clotted cream and a scone is unbelievable.
Mm. Except the term clotted doesn't really, it doesn't get me excited about eating it.
No. Period.
You get dressed up for it, Jimmy. Is it fancy?
Yeah, you do.
Oh.
You dress up and look nice.
Put an ascot on.
Stax, you know all about that.
Dip my ascot in your clotted cream.
Yeah.
Who wants some of that?
Anyways, Ponzi. Listen, what isn't Ponzi is our sponsor. BetMGM. It's the place for soccer in Canada. And it presents Footy Prime. We're here to talk about football, not so much about high tea.
Hmm. Can we talk about Craig Forrest 2-0 on our footy picks, return to footy picks?
Could you remind us Leeds, of his bet from Friday?
Yeah, Leeds 3. What was it? Leeds versus what?
Wolves.
Wanderers. Wolves. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Wolves can be relegated this week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're lambs.
What is it? If West Ham draws or wins?
Yeah, I believe so. West Ham play later today. Is it today?
They do, don't they? Crystal Palace.
They play Palace, yeah.
Yeah.
Big game suddenly. For the Hammers especially. And for Spurs, who dropped more points at the death this time, Craig. But, I mean, you give the Zerbi a little bit of credit. He hasn't won in two games, but they are playing, I think, a little bit better.
A little bit. A little bit.
You mean give them credit? Yeah, they win.
They're pretty easy to play against at times, and Brighton are a good side too. But they looked as though they had the winner. Amazing goal by Simmons, the Dutch lad, and then they celebrated like they won the World Cup. And I was like, well, there's still 13 minutes left. Sure enough, they can see late.
It's like, a long time.
Get your minds into it. Make sure you keep the win. But anyway, that's Spurs. They've got some winnable games coming up. Zerbi says they can win them all. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
Very confident.
Can I ask you guys something? Oh.
Sorry,
Sharms. I was going to ask Jimmy or Forrest, in your time in England, whether you were in a relegation battle or promotion playoffs, were you ever in a situation where your fate was determined, it was hanging in the balance based on other results, like you were waiting for the outcome of different games that you weren't in control of?
Yeah, actually, and it was the season 94-95, I think it was. Going into the last game, there was five teams that could have got relegated. And we went to Blackburn away, playing against Shearer and Sutton up top, the SAS. And we needed at least a draw to have a chance. And we were drawing late in the game, 0-0. And I was going up for corners because they were saying the results aren't going our way. We need to win. And then after I'd gone up a couple times, I was up. I was going to go again. And the manager, John Lyle, was like, no, back. And I was like, what? Why? And there's like, Steen has scored for Chelsea against Sheffield United in the 93rd minute or something to change all the results. And now all of a sudden the draw was enough to stay up.
Wow.
So we hung on, the game ended, and we're just looking around going, what, like, are we up or what's going on? And they're like, yeah, Steen's just scored. Yeah, we're up at Blackburn. Yeah.
And that was so before.
That was one of the best feelings in my career. It was amazing.
Someone with a transistor radio regaling the score.
Somebody on Morse code, tell Forrest, stay home.
I can't hear you.
Stay in your box, see?
Oh, he's kind of well, what? And John Lyle, wasn't big on the drinking side of things. He didn't allow booze on the bus, but he did allow us on that occasion. We stopped at an off license in Blackburn and loaded up. And by the time we got back to Ipswich, 4 or 5 hours later, we were pretty wasted.
I love it.
That's amazing. Then we went into the stadium, took a couple golf clubs, and started smashing balls around the stadium at Portman Road when we got back.
Did you really?
Yeah. Hearing them going off the seats in the stadium.
And that's because he just survived. He hadn't won anything. He just didn't go down.
Just survived. Yeah.
I suppose for some players, I mean, that probably is a bigger relief. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more relief than winning, obviously, but winning is winning. Lifting a trophy, I get all that. But knowing that you could be going down to a lower division, meaning that everything changes, the club changes, people lose their jobs, your paycheck takes a hammering.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be some feeling.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And then 12 months later, we were relegated, so we had the complete gamut of emotions. So much pressure. So much pressure. Yeah. Especially at that time, Blackburn were the shit, right? I mean, they were awesome. Right.
They were good.
To keep them off the score sheet, we're pretty fortunate.
Yeah. We had a similar story when we were at Norwich. And that's when we were in the Prem, and we had last game of the season, we needed a win. We win, we survive, we're still in the Premier League. And we were playing Fulham. Fulham was in the best, and we were confident. Ah, it's not a problem. We're going to Fulham, we'll get a result, stay in the Prem. And we lost 6-0, and we got relegated.
I remember
6-0.
I remember that. It was like, come on, like, they could do it. They just got
smashed. Yeah, got smashed.
How was that?
What happened?
There was no beer on the bus on the way home.
No beer on the bus.
A few tears, though.
So, Jimmy, was the reality of all that, like, just come crashing down? Like, how early in the game did you know, like, oh, we're fucked?
Probably after the first goal. Just like, this is not going to be our day. Yeah, it wasn't fun at all.
Oh, my God.
Home crowd or in Fulham?
In Fulham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a dysfunctional team, would you say?
No,
that badly.
We just didn't go our way, really.
Say the least.
It wasn't from lack of trying. We tried.
So you weren't going out for dinner that night in Norwich?
No, stayed in the house for about a week.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one way to say, oh, we're going to fight for the lads, fight for the fans. 6-0. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is rough.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storyline, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kudrow, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/Morning Skate.
Probably the most famous day of a team winning something or avoiding something but not playing would have been Leicester when they won the championship.
Oh.
Right? Jamie Vardy's party in the kitchen. And I forget, was it City? Whoever it was, I forget now. But they won it. Now, Leicester, this week, can go down to League One.
Wow.
What a fall. 10 years ago, they were champions of the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And they could be dropping down to the League One this week if results don't go their way. They're going down regardless, but it could be as early as this week.
Points deduction, too, is costly.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It'd be safe if, otherwise. It's amazing how some of these clubs get points reductions. And City still have nothing.
I don't understand. I'm confused by this whole thing. Yeah. We were talking about this 3 seasons ago while other teams were getting deducted. Everton, like other teams had their fate decided upon them during the season. Man City, what are they? I'm serious. There's pictures or something, right? There's got to be.
Yeah.
There's photos, photo evidence of someone doing something on UEFA, something.
I think what will happen is they'll be found guilty and they'll take 10 points off Everton.
I mean, it could be worse. You could be a Sheffield Wednesday fan. They're still -3 coming to the end of the season with only one win.
Yeah,
they haven't even reached zero.
How much did they have taken away, Jimmy? How much did they have taken away?
Oh, like they had 10? A lot. More.
Oh.
Yeah, they had more.
More. It was pretty big, actually. I think it says.
It was big. They only had one win this season.
Is that the biggest sporting sanction ever in football? Oh,
it's got to be. Can you imagine playing this season and you finish -3?
No. It's a pretty sobering result, right? You're like, we're an integer. We are not. We're in the red.
18 points deduction.
Wow.
18. Wow. And they didn't even clear it all season.
No, they're still -3.
Wow. Thoughts and prayers, Sheffield United fans.
Mm-hmm. No, Wednesday.
Sheffield United fans are loving
it.
It's Wednesday.
Pardon me. Wednesday.
Big club, too.
Huge.
Big club.
Really big club. No, it's crazy. And to see, Leicester, it began going wrong with the helicopter crash. Remember that morning, Craig? Sportsnet?
Yeah.
It was just a crazy morning. These reports coming down that this helicopter crashed, leaving Leicester, I think the night before, wasn't it? Or whenever it was.
No, it was after the game. They landed the helicopter on the pitch. The owners.
It was an early kickoff.
And then they took off and thing went all sideways from there and then crashed in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then COVID happened and the money from that ownership group is all duty free. That's where the money comes from.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. So this perfect storm, so to speak. Disappointing. Going back to City, maybe the reason that they haven't had the sanction just yet is because the hilarity of seeing Arsenal blow this is so much. They'll wait another year just to see what happens the next few games after City beat Arsenal on Sunday in a really great match, by the way. That was fantastic from Cherki's brilliance to Donnarumma doing, I don't know what he was thinking right there. There's posts in that one. But what a match. And of course, Haaland with the winner, then taking his shirt off and walking past the cameras, nodding his head post-match. I love that guy. I mean, whether you like City or you hate City, you can't dislike Erling Haaland. He brings so much positivity and personality to the sport. But what a win. And it's not as if I don't think Arsenal were necessarily that bad, actually. They're okay. But bottom line is, they lose again. And now it's a City win on Wednesday, I think it's against Burnley, right? They're in first place.
A squeaky bum.
Yeah. Actually, to you at that end, that expression, Wonger, you were very funny when you had let Marcelo go on that podcast, and then it was just you and Craig are chatting. You're like, what's that expression that Jimmy uses again? Stinky bum? It's like, no, it's not it.
It's because I've had a stinky bum for 50 some years.
Squeaky bum.
I think it was Sir Alex Ferguson saying, wasn't it, originally?
I can't remember who first
coined it.
It was either him or it was Clive Woodward, who was the England rugby coach.
Or Jimmy Savile.
Let's squeak in the morgue.
Alex Ferguson. 2003.
It was Alex, was it?
It's a great expression.
Alex Ferguson.
All right. But it was some match. Haaland's battle with Gabriel. I mean, those who appreciate good physical battle dubs, centre back against big centre forward, the physicality. No one was flopping or diving. They're fighting through it. It was just fun to watch that alone, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the continuous thread of this battle between these two teams for me is epitomized by these two guys, like the clash between them, the history, the ball throwing by Haaland, was that last season, the stay humble, all of that stuff. But then, like, I think the honesty and the credibility, I think about a guy like Haaland, like he's going to barge his way around, but he's not going to flop. And I think that inserts itself into the narrative here with the title race, because if Gabriel, like they're forehead to forehead and he kind of lunges towards Haaland, makes a move, not like a head back and then to drive forward through Haaland's forehead, but he pushes towards him. And if Haaland wants to play the game there, exhibits a little bit of theatrics and goes down, Gabriel gets sent off. And then that maybe influences Arsenal's next game and maybe tips the scales in City's favor. But I love the fact that he stayed on his feet. And I love also the kind of the theater about the fact that he's walking around, he's taking his shirt off, he throws it into the crowd, but the under that he's wearing, just because it's a little bit chilly, is ripped to shreds by that battle. So there was so much good stuff in it. And I was even listening to this. Like, I was driving back from the airport having covered Canada versus Brazil on Saturday. So I had Fubo TV on, but I was like listening to it in the car and then like taking glances down whenever anything of note was happening. But I mean, it was like old timey, right? Because I was just listening to the call and it was still really compelling.
I think it was this morning, there was a report, a story that Haaland's partner was upset with all the scratches on his body. It's like, yeah, it's from the match. Sure. Oh.
Like thought he was stepping out or something?
But, you know, I mean, listen, it's no big jump here, but there's every chance that Haaland is going to be the face of this year's World Cup. Norway's a really good team. They could be a bit of a dark horse to go some distance in this World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and could be front and center with that personality. I think he could really become the face. They're in Group I with France, Senegal, and Iraq. That's a good group. But Norway-France is maybe the match to watch in this first round of matches.
Mm-hmm.
Got to start really digging deep on World Cup. Decided I'm starting this week, just like an hour a day or something. There's so many freaking teams. And it's going to come pretty quickly. So for all of us involved in the World Cup, which is all of us, I strongly recommend, if you haven't already,
start doing your homework.
Start doing your homework.
No way right at now. It. Yeah.
Hey, I want to.
Each week. A test a week.
I want. Oh, quiz. That's a good idea.
Keep us honest. Sure.
I wanted to do a Schadenfreude meter. Would you rather have Arsenal bottle up the last 2 weeks, or would you rather see Tottenham go down?
Tottenham go down. All day long.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd rather see that.
Well, I think it's between West Ham and Spurs, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in that case, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Forest look pretty safe now, Jimmy. They had a big win. So Leeds also a big win. So it could be between West Ham, which is what makes today's match so. But that's like, just think about though Arsenal if they don't win. We've all crowned the champions at some point this year, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is it was theirs to throw away.
What if they win the Champions League but throw away the Premier League? Will that appease Arsenal fans? I'd say yes.
Yeah. To a certain degree.
To a certain degree.
that would be their first Champions League.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wouldn't carry that much weight next season, though. I think for the short term, they'd be, yeah, okay, what a great season. We're European champions. Amazing. But next year, again, it's going to be all eyes on the Prem. And will they do it again?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they won the Champions League or not. And they could still win this year. Listen, there's still football games left to play here. Is it 5 games left? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not winning.
And yeah, you're pretty confident.
Yeah.
I think City got a harder run in though, right?
In terms of opponents that they've got in the next five? Yeah. I think
there's I saw a post-match, there's some weird, like as Opta, one of these data sites, they weight certain games and percentages, and they still have Arsenal as favorites to win the league this year.
Interesting.
By like 70.
Yeah, it was that. I think I saw it too, Sharms. It was Poly Market Football, and it said March 9th, 91%. March 9th was 91% that Arsenal was going to win over City. So 91-9. And then now it's 52-48.
Yeah.
It's gotten that close.
I don't know because Man City has got Burnley, Everton, Brentford, Bournemouth, Palace, Villa.
They're tough games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you're not playing all those. Liverpool, Arsenal. Yeah. You're not playing the top six.
Villa's at Liverpool right now.
But you're playing Villa last match of the season. But
they're, what's Arsenal's, they're in third? Last? Is Villa in third?
Yeah.
Because
fourth. Because United's fourth. Third, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Because with Liverpool's win in the Merseyside derby, they cleared themselves. I think they're 6 points above Chelsea.
Yeah.
Who's Arsenal has Newcastle. Then they got Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, Fulham, West Ham, Burnley, Palace.
All right, so City's got a much tougher run in. I know there's no City aren't playing City, which is tough. But they're tough games. I mean, Bournemouth's a good team. Villa's obviously a very good team. Palace, I mean, they should win the games. I'm not, I still think City should be favourites at this point to run out the season, but it's difficult. Plus, the Champions League being a distraction for Arsenal as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I just think what all these, you know, supercomputers, Opta, Wanger's Pollyanna scale, whatever the hell that is, it doesn't take...
You made it up.
Yeah. It doesn't take psychological and emotional components into account.
That's like, right. So Man City's going to win for sure then.
Well, I mean, it's crazy what it does. Like as a Liverpool fan, I'm just hoping they're able to stay in fifth, keep Chelsea at bay, and then they're into Champions League next year, right? Like this is where we're at as a Reds fan. But then for the league as a neutral, to your question, Sharms, like I would love to see Arsenal bottle it. I've talked about this. And I think that Declan Rice, there were images of him being helped up by Odegaard. And he's like, it's not over. It's not over. Well, you know, you've got some leadership in that locker room. You've got guys who have been there before with their national teams or with club. But it's hard now. It's going to be a hard run out for them, no matter what Opta says about the strength of their next opponents. You have to do a lot of galvanizing, a lot of rallying, a lot of confidence building just to get yourself back on the rails, kind of at the bottom of where your best form is, because there's so much going on between the years. So those supercomputers don't really know what they're talking about in terms of managing the emotion of seeing this over the line.
I agree.
Yeah. And well, the fact that they've thrown it away to a certain degree, and Man City are just chasing behind them. Sometimes that's an easier position to be in, especially when it was 91%.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming you guys tell me, but with such anxiety in the stands and the fan base, the players must feel that as well in these games when you're down a goal or it's tied late and you know you have to get points. You saw the images from the stands. These Arsenal supporters are shitting themselves.
They do. They are. Like, you see them at home again in Emirates Stadium. It's like, as soon as they, even if at 0-0, they're just so nervous about the situation. You can see what's happening. It's like a slow train wreck.
Oh, yes, you're right. With the inevitable characters
slowly concertinaing.
Yeah. Same thing at Spurs, right? Spurs, I mean, that place went nuts when Spurs scored, and then they concede again, and then it's like, oh, everything's down again, and fans are nervous.
It's tangible, too, right? You can feel that when the crowd is nervous.
Yeah.
You know, I just think about the Raptors run and the amount of times I was like watching at a bar. I was with JC one time at a bar and I couldn't watch the end. I've told Craig I have to turn things off sometimes.
Did you really?
Because oh my God, I have the hardest time. If I'm in, like, I'm only into two or three really big games that mean a lot to me. And that was one of the ones that meant a lot to me. And I had, like, sometimes I was like, I can't watch anymore. I'd go in the kitchen, come back out. Really? Like, was it over? One time I left the bar.
You went to get Chinese food.
Yeah, he goes, you come went to back Queenstown. Here, it's in overtime.
And that I was went, amazing. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I was
there. And you ran back in and with your food and had another pint. It was great.
And you emotionally ate your feelings.
That's right. I did. I put on 6 pounds of Kung Pao chicken.
Oh my God. That's so funny. It makes me think of my sister when we were kids, like watching whatever was on because we didn't have cable, and like Happy Days was on at 5. And then she would like be physically like unable to watch Richie Cunningham walk into a really embarrassing situation. She would actually cover her eyes and be like, what are you doing? Like, it's a TV show.
Isn't that every scene in Happy Days?
Basically.
Yeah. I'm the same way. That and Alex P. Keaton. Those two characters always were the most, had the most embarrassing things happen to them. And I was like, I can't do this.
What a character though, right?
Yeah.
Alex P. Keaton.
Mm-hmm. He was great in Shrinking. Have you seen Shrinking?
Oh, yes. He was great in Shrinking.
Fantastic.
So good.
No, Michael J. making Fox, a bad joke.
Has a cameo appearance. And he's amazing, right?
Yeah.
What he's struggling through.
All right. Yeah.
But it's pretty powerful scenes, actually.
I love Harrison Ford in that.
Oh, brilliant, too.
Like, you think he talk about being uncomfortable watching someone act.
Yeah.
You think he actually has Parkinson's. Yes. The way he it's incredible.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Nice. I got uncomfortable with Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
The killing part or the dancing part?
The empathy. Jimmy was empathizing with Buffalo Bill. He's being chased for his weirdness.
You would have been uncomfortable.
Don't you hurt Precious.
You would have been uncomfortable if you're in the pit.
With all that lotion around me. I feel like a P. Diddy party.
You smell lovely, though. You
smell great. No.
What are you talking about? That's Jimmy's fantasy. The pit and lotion for 4 days straight.
Sharms, quick, move on.
Well, I was wondering, actually, we know what I missed out on Sons of the Lambs was we never saw him try the dress on, did we? What if it was too tight? That would be uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Take out some stitches.
Just,
I thought that was lacking. You know, I want to see him in the dress, see how it looks before we judge him. But we never got the opportunity. Fair anyway, enough. Back to City.
Arsenal is in the pit.
There it is.
Yeah. Who's Precious? Is Precious the trophy?
Back. I want Precious.
That's pretty good, Charles.
Billy Trophy.
It's good, pal.
It's Arteta.
You know what? If any reason to see City lose, though, it's that bloody fan they keep showing with the Arsenal water bottle. You seen this guy?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting way too much play. He's got like a little stubby water bottle, you know, like you buy from the store, but it's an Arsenal branded one. And every time he's on camera, he's like drinking it. Ha, ha, ha. Really funny. It was funny the first time. It's been a couple
do that
of
again.
He's showing this guy. What's that, Jimmy?
Do that again.
Jimmy's going down to his own pit at his house. Now, keep it. I need to etch that in my brain.
Jimmy's stockpiling all his material for his pit. Right.
Yeah, we'll be doing that again. But yeah, that guy's annoying. All right, you mentioned the Derby Dubs. First one at the new Everton Stadium. Beautiful stadium. Incredible. Big old Verge at the death, 111th minute? I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny. Nodded that one in from a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Another good game. That rivalry's still got it. It means something now. Everton's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got some real edge to it once again. I loved VAR in the first half in particular.
Yeah.
After Everton scored a beautiful goal, actually, which would have been the first goal ever in the derby in the new stadium. And then it was ruled off for offside and boom, back come. Glorious Mo, the lovely finish. I enjoyed that one, I have to say. It's been a pretty mediocre season for Liverpool so far, but that one I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it had like the elements that we've been used to seeing with Liverpool. Like it had the injuries and they were maybe subpar, but they were able to get it over the line. And especially in a derby, it meant so much. And to see Salah like step into that and just bury it with his left foot, like that's vintage Salah, and that's what was required on the day away to Everton. So really pleased, I think, to see that. And I'm surprised to hear you say that you loved that moment, because it was instigated by VAR. But I mean, that maybe is the silver lining out of it, is that it gives you those emotional swings in the game. And then as a Reds fan, we end up on top. So I think you're quite pleased with yourself there.
Yeah, of course. It works for you. Mm-hmm. Of course it is. But when it doesn't, it doesn't. But yeah, I don't like swings. I like to have just give me one emotion, be it abject disappointment or euphoria, one or the other. Not like euphoria followed by disappointment or disappointment. I don't need two emotions within 2 minutes of each other. Give me the one. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, make it straightforward.
Make it straightforward, yeah, exactly. So that was pleasant. Anything else in the Prem you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, Nottingham Forest. Thank you.
Okay. I did mention him early on a little bit. Big hat trick.
Great, great match, by the way. Went down 1-0. Fleming scores. But it was one of those matches where you felt comfortable. You're just like, let's not worry about this. And then Gibbs White in the second half scores a hat trick within 15 minutes. And then Jesus ends up getting the fourth goal, which was a massive win. We needed it. Terrific performance from the Reds.
I'm trying to think
thank you.
In the Prem.
Yeah, no, but it really, it's a big win. And thank like you. if West Ham wins this afternoon, or is it mm-hmm. today? Yeah, this afternoon, Tottenham's really
in trouble.
They're it looks like they're going down. And to Craig's point, watching them celebrate those goals, both goals, was like they just won the Champions League. And then to see their spectators just swallow it on the tying goal, I was just like, this is theater. This is fantastic.
Well, our friends at BetMGM, they have Spurs to go down as like they're going down. They're at 1.8 to go down. West Ham's at 2.6.
Wow. So, that's the closest.
Yeah.
That's the form.
Mm. Yeah,
also, it has
in 2026, right?
And Man City is league winner favorites at 1.6 and Arsenal at 2.25, pardon me. So and United at 401.
Changed.
Throw
things
a
have changed.
That. I wonder if Chelsea's Liam Rossignol gets fired this week. You know how stupid Chelsea are. They've lost, I think, four straight games. Slipping and sliding out of European football. Speaking of being hilarious, that's a hilarious. I'm sorry to our Chelsea fans listening. I know a lot of our supporters club are Chelsea fans. But again, it's some Schadenfreude here. Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude, that sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, it's really amusing for those that aren't Chelsea fans. 1.8 billion spent in the last few years on transfers. And they've got this great youthful, exciting team for the future that's been the future for about 5 years. But they're still, I think the oldest player on the pitch was 27 years of age on the weekend. And we're kind of learning that you need a bit of experience. Mm. Some wily veteran guile in 11s to kind of complement the youth. And they just don't seem to have that.
Yeah, they were a little disappointing. Club World Cup champions, right?
Since then, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Well, you wonder how much it cost them. Right? They had no time off. They had no break at all. Forget physically, but mentally. Mm-hmm. It's a strain. Because there's been patches this year that look really good. But overall, it just hasn't happened for them. So it's a crying shame. Sorry.
I don't think it is.
Love for your supporters.
Yeah.
Except for Asa. I'm glad for Asa that they're losing. Because he's a really bad person.
Asa and Kerry.
All right. Let's move on to... Oh, by the way, quickly, though, I want to mention... actually, not quickly. It's a big topic, actually. Fonzie scores. Nice goal. Well, with nice goal. Deflected. Nice move. He wins his 7th Bundesliga title this weekend as Bayern clinch a trophy. 7th!
Has he played enough games to get a medal? Well, he used to have to play at least 15 league games to get a medal, but I don't think it's that in the Premier League now, but...
That's a good question. I wonder.
He'd be right around there, I figure.
Pardon me?
Well, it's an easy way to find out.
Yeah, we could look up his matches, like returning from the ACL and then the couple of hamstring injuries, little niggles that he's had. But I mean, even on as a sub, I figure he's maybe up around there, like a dozen.
Yeah, I'm going to guess
he's close to that number.
Give me 1 second here. Let me find him here.
Jimmy, you covered that match, right?
Yeah. Bayern Munich is so good. You hear me say it all the time. What? They're the best team in the world for me at the moment. It's amazing how they play their football. I can't speak highly enough of it. It is every match you just glued to the TV, every play, every movement. It's phenomenal football. I mean, what are they in 30 games, something like 108 goals, 109 goals that they've scored? Every game's 3-4 goals they're scoring, and they're such an amazing side. And I can't not see them winning Champions League and doing the treble in their own domestic league this year. And if they've got PSG next. Now, for me, that's the final. This is two studs playing against each other that tactically are so clued in, dialed in. And that should be the final of the Champions League, PSG and Bayern Munich. And whoever wins that's going to go all the way, because they're definitely going to beat Arsenal or going to beat Atletico Madrid. It's kind of like you got the finesse and beautiful football with PSG and Bayern, and then you got the two kind of workhorses with Atletico and Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
By the Bayern Munich, my God. And then I was looking at it as well, because then you start going back and I'm looking. They've got something like 14 players that have all contributed throughout the season that are under the age of 19.
Jesus.
This is their next crop of players that are coming through the system that have all at some point stepped onto the field. Like they're going to be unstoppable for the next number of years. It's crazy. And all the goals that they've scored, 19 players have contributed this season. In that 109 goals that they've scored. 19 players.
And Kane's got 75 goals or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I'm telling you. And if anybody's out there listening and they haven't watched Bayern, please tune in and watch Bayern Munich.
They're fun.
It's best side in the world at the moment, by far.
And you've always talked about how impressed you've been with Olise. Is he close now to breaking, is it Thomas Müller's assist record?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, and who would have thought the one thing with Bayern Munich, and I never thought I'd be talking about Bundesliga football, but I'm actually a fan now. Really am a fan. And the way that Bayern recruit players and their scouting is phenomenal, right? Like, who would have thought Olise from Crystal Palace would be going to Bayern Munich and would be one of the top wingers in the world? They recruit him. They take Harry Kane. They bring him in. He's an absolute stud at the moment. This guy cannot stop scoring. Ballon d'Or, whatever the fuck it is.
That's your fragrance.
Yes. He's gonna win that. He has to win that this year.
Yeah, I think he does.
He has to win it.
Although the World Cup will feature strongly on that. So when England win the World Cup, then it's, you know, you can't debate.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just
poor Sharms. Your heart's getting broken again.
Fonsi's got 11 matches under his belt in the Bundesliga this year.
Okay.
How many more games left in the season? Got to be four or five, right?
Five or six.
Got to be around the same as in the Prem.
If it is, we don't even know what the rule is in Germany. If it's 15, he should get there. Hopefully, he does.
If you have 11, I think what the rule is, if you have 11 but go down in the pit and hang out with the dog and the lotion, and you're okay. Yeah. You got it for 4 weekends straight.
You have to celebrate Oktoberfest in the pit.
Jimmy, Luis Diaz, too, another player they signed.
Luis Diaz, yes.
Gosh.
Right.
He's been incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, tell that PSG buying, that's going to be something to watch. So, they, like Jimmy mentioned there, if you haven't seen them play, like tune into the Champions League. That's going to be, it could be an absolute classic, those two.
Yeah.
Absolute classic. God.
You would be Spurs or Atletico. Although, I tell you what, does anyone deserve it more than Diego Simeone, Craig, Atletico, to win this thing? My God.
I know.
I think he's the longest serving manager, isn't he? In the top flight. Yeah, he has to be.
Oh, he's highest got paid. By a long way, isn't he?
Highest paid, yeah. That's
highest
he is.
Paid for sure.
Yeah.
Did yeah, you see the presser?
The owner loves him, eh? The owner loves him. He's just kept him. He's just made sure he's looked after him. You see him in the press conference when he talks about his players, though? Like, he just want to play for the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he just, like, it's, he just has everything as a coach, I think.
I was going to bring up the one where he's, sorry for us, where he's talking Griezmann's to his left, right? And he's going to be exiting. And he just speaks and, like, so candidly, so honestly, so openly about his friend, but also his player and how they toe that line and manage that relationship. It remains professional, but he just spoke in glowing terms about him, like his abilities as a player, the footballer that he is, but Griezmann, the man.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like, lace him up. I want to play for this guy.
I know.
I still can't, and we'll never get over the kick out. Getting Beckham sent off at the World Cup. I always despise Simeone for that. He's a scumbag.
Still bitter, eh? Still bitter.
Yep. Yes, Craig.
To be fair, that was terrible.
Oh, my God.
Terrible.
Oh.
That's
scumbag. You know, I was for this. Great football manager.
But his press conferences are so good.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I love him anyway. Yeah.
He's so English, isn't he? 5 minutes ago. Do you not think, is there anybody that deserves it more than is there anybody out there? 5 minutes later, come back.
He's lashing out.
Yeah, Charms, how do you feel about Brexit? Tell us.
Best thing for the country. Just ask my dad. Oh, God. So when the emotion takes over from the head, you know, it happens a lot in sport, doesn't it? You know what the right answer is, but it's often clouded by stupid emotion that gets in the way of everything in life. Reno Matarazzo, by the way, is a name that we're becoming very familiar with soon. He's a Real Sociedad's manager, just won Copa del Rey yesterday, beat Atletico, actually. American.
Mm-hmm.
American manager, first one to win a European championship title, cup, whatever you want to call it, in the top flight. Any thoughts on Reno Matarazzo, anyone? No? See, but it's going to change, I think.
No, but that's good for the country, right? It's good for the U.S. And to have someone that they can say this, they've reached that pinnacle, and then they're hiring, their development. I mean, I just saw Landon Donovan going to task on U.S. Men's Federation and their development in the States and how it's failing. And, you know, there's lessons in failure, too, that we can take from other federations. And then there's lessons we can take with success also and what works in Canada, because it is such a new investment opportunity in Canada soccer, even though it shouldn't be new. But I'm saying we're now at a place that these things can take off.
Hopefully.
That we don't miss an opportunity, right, Sharps? Yeah, missed opportunities suck.
We'll see post-World Cup, won't we? What happens?
We're challenging
World Cup
everyone.
Later this weekend, the fiasco that is this World Cup off the pitch. I'm trying to just look forward to the on the pitch.
You have to.
Because it's really easy to get very cynical about everything else.
Yeah.
Disgusting, let's be honest.
Well, we'll have Rob Nottenboom, president of the Voyageurs, the Canada Supporters Club, on just to talk about kind of the navigation of ticketing opportunities for old-time supporters, new-time supporters. We're having him on this week, so it'll be a great conversation.
Mm-hmm. Will you pay $300 for a Tier 1 Fan Fest ticket?
Stop it. $300?
Oh, I'm not sure what it gets you. I'm assuming it gets you a lot of cocaine.
Access to the pit.
Yeah. Jimmy's waiting for you down here in the pit.
Straight down.
Gum slumming at the FIFA Fan Fest.
I've got to dig into it because I want to hammer them for this. I don't know what. What I read was $10 to $300, whether that's like a multi. I don't know. But regardless, you shouldn't be paying for Fan Fest anyway. You just shouldn't. It's not what you do at World Cups.
No.
And you should have known about this before when you said it's going to be free. Regardless.
This is Sharms on his roller coaster of emotions today.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Like the round trip bus fares to get to stadiums in the U.S.
Trains.
Like, what's it, New Jersey to
Penn Station? $150?
Yeah.
Yeah, from $13 to $150.
Yep.
1,000% increase for return ticket.
How do they justify that? I mean, they have massive events at that stadium all the time.
That's what I thought. You have NFL matches, games. Same number of people going there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Seems like everybody's trying to get their piece. Yeah.
There's a lot to dislike about this World Cup.
And just for that, Footy Prime is open to sponsorships.
Yeah. New York Transit.
That's right. I'll give you a good word.
Oy, oy, oy. All right, moving on. MLS, Vancouver smashed Sporting 3-0 on Friday. Great TFC drew late. My God, if nothing else, TFC is a fun team to watch this year. And Montreal won. They won.
Yeah.
Under their interim coach.
Philippe Ulafroy. Coach. Mm.
Dites ça encore.
Philippe Ulafroy.
Il a froid?
Yeah.
Like, we'll it's cold
MLS,
outside?
Sure, il a froid? But no. Craig, where are we at with the Max v. Dane battle?
Well, both of them played okay. Max still, well, both teams that they're playing for, Miami and Orlando, still defensively are all over the place. They don't even bother defending. It's like, Miami's just going to outscore you. And that's exactly what they did. It was interesting because they moved into Broncos in Denver. There were 76,000 people there. It's incredible that Messi still draws these massive crowds, and he was brilliant as usual.
That goal, by the way.
Oh, the guy, honestly, still doing it at his age. I mean, like I said, they don't bother defending in this league very often, but still, it's something else.
It's almost impossible to defend. He finds that little glimmer of daylight and is able to get into it and release his shot so quickly. There's nobody else in a game who does it. Like the women's national team needed a little bit of that, like finding opportunities on the break and just taking too long to execute. And I mean, obviously nobody can compare to Messi, but I think some teams need to be inspired by that, the ability to just decide, execute, get the shot off at back of the net.
You mentioned daylight. Good segue. We had our first new daylight offside thingamajig in the CPL.
Thingamajig.
Last weekend, and our very own Jimmy Brennan was on the call, and actually his dulcet tones are making the rounds internationally. I saw BBC Sport posting the goal, and it's Jimmy explaining it to the entire world. No pressure, Jimmy. But yeah, Alejandro Diaz of Halifax scores. Would have been ruled off for last year, right? But there wasn't quite daylight there. It kind of all made sense. I mean, the lines aren't quite as cool and funky in the graphics as we are used to with VAR, but it seemed pretty clear to me. Did you like the call? One decision in, are you a fan of the daylight offside rule, Jimmy?
I'm a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of the ruling. Because it makes it just easy. Is there daylight? Yes or no? And far too often over the last year, number of years, is he offside? Is he not offside? A toe is off. I hate when they do that. Now it's just, can you see daylight? And I think it's very good because, I mean, with Diaz, what he ends up doing is he just comes right behind the defender, just kind of making contact. But still, when you're looking at his body, he's got like a yard or two advantage on the defender now. And then obviously the shot comes in, keeper saves it, and he's first to react and puts it in the back of the net. But I like it. I think strikers are going to get very clever. very clever with this, just making sure that, you know, it, and I think you're going to see it work on set pieces in the second phase, right? When defenders are clearing their lines and they're coming up, strikers are just going to come right behind them, touching their shoulder blades, going, okay, there's no daylight here, but I'm in a position now. If that ball comes back in, I'm going to be first one to get it. So I think as it evolves and strikers start to figure out an advantage, defenders as well now, I've got to start thinking, okay, if I'm clearing my lines and I'm getting up, but I've got to make sure that this guy behind me mm-hmm. is not touching me. And, you know, they've got to figure out exactly what their next moves are going to be. So I really like it. I do.
I think it's here to stay.
Yeah, I do as well. I do as well. Pass.
So it's in the top leagues next season, you reckon?
I hope so.
I think it could be, yeah. I think it could be.
It'd be interesting to see how many more goals are scored this year compared to last year and how many are a result of that. That's the telltale sign. Because no matter what people say, you want to see goals. Fans want to see goals. And yeah. Defenders and goalkeepers might not agree with that, or old school defensive coaches might not agree with that, but you want to see goals. That's what makes the highlight reels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this will hopefully benefit that. So we'll see. Yeah, but a big weekend for the CPL. Also, Supra had their home debut as well. Mm-hmm. Almost 5,000 fans. Good crowd. So, yeah, which is great. Almost 5,000 fans. Listen, the pitch looked awful, right? It's got football lines on there, but they're playing in more than one venue this season mm-hmm. until they get their permanent home.
Playing at four, actually.
Is it four, is it?
It's four because they're playing one game at Stade Telus in Quebec City. But it's mostly spread out. A couple games at SEPSEM, which is Université de Montréal, like their gridiron football plus university soccer stadium. And that's why it's got the football lines on it. They'll be sharing Stade Boreal with the Roses. And then they'll have a couple of games that, if you remember CS Saint-Laurent, they had, you know, great scenes, great atmosphere at Claude Rebillard. I grew up watching like the Supra and the Impact back in the day and played many a soccer game and also track meet there. Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal, but like it's a great setup to kind of get into another pocket of Montreal. So I think it's the right way to do it for them. You know, baby steps. Yes, we need more soccer-specific stadiums because of the optics of it all. But I think they're doing it the right way, where they're looking to drop that fandom and cultivate that fandom into different areas of Montreal.
See, I was really angry, and then I heard about the fans, 5,000, and then I heard about the other stadiums. That okay, I'll just chill, I'll shut up and breathe a little bit here.
It's not. It's also a university. Yeah, it's a university field. The cost to take the lines on and off aren't always going to be in the budgets. So. I mean, it's a work in progress. WIP, as we call it in the business world.
In Cincinnati.
Baby, if you ever wonder.
Dubsy. Yeah. So Canada lose to Brazil 1-0.
Yeah.
You were on the call. Before we get to the game, I haven't got much time left here, but I want to ask you about, I appreciated this at the time. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but when Jordan mentioned the term stony ball, and you seem to giggle a little bit and touch his arm, like being all cheeky, like we would be. Was that what that was about? It was almost midnight when you said it. So yeah. I think maybe the barriers were crumbling and the foundations were crumbling. But I found it amusing that there's some immaturity slipping into the one soccer broadcast, which we Brian can appreciate.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know it's speaking of, you know, cultivating that fandom, the immaturity is cultivated here at Footy Prime. And I do try to bring a little bit of that, a smidgen of it to any broadcast that I'm on, even though I'm meant to be professional, because it's I just try to be me. Right. But you're right. There was a certain amount of giddiness that was on the set because it was, you know, it was around midnight. But the touch on the arm and kind of the wink was because of the patterns of play. And he had been on me earlier. Be like, oh, like Amy likes to talk about the, you know, the patterns of play that we're now seeing under Casey Stoney. So it was kind of a wink to that, less about the stone ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You're just starting to see the DNA, the identity of this team in the way that they're playing, especially when they're in possession. And that was lacking when they were on the skid to end 2025. So that's emerging a little bit more fluent going forward, but still struggling to score and to impose themselves versus top 10 opponents. So that's next kind of next thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess top 10 opponents. Yeah. But yeah, overall, this window, two wins and a loss in Brazil, in fairness, against a good Brazil team. I'm sure Stony Ball will be relatively happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And I'm quite pleased with that performance, at least to hear her comments after the fact. I think we nitpicked a little bit because Canada were stretched defensively. They could have been more aggressive in moments to use it to their advantage to hit Brazil on the break as they were throwing tons of numbers forward. And to their credit, they were very opportunistic. They were very aggressive, especially in the wings, because when we were defending, our wingers were trying to narrow the pitch and kind of cut off the middle, but we were overrun in the midfield, so struggled a little bit that way. But I think you think about the She Believes Cup, you think about the tough conditions they were playing in Brazil versus the very different opponents, very different tactical tests. Jade Rose was sent off versus South Korea, like the resilience that they showed, the heroics of Vanessa Gilles again on set pieces. So you didn't have that depth really at center back. And I think you could have used a player like Jade Rose versus Brazil to your advantage, especially starting the buildup and playing a little bit more direct and picking apart the Brazilian defense. But I think overall, Casey Stoney will be quite pleased, and they look ahead to June, where she's hoping to have just one match and an extended kind of training period. And they'll do some testing and they'll have more time to sort out some stuff and maybe make some adjustments tactically.
And then, of course, the CONCACAF Championship in November, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, one more window before that, though. There'll be the penultimate window in October.
Two more friendlies right then.
Yeah.
And just so everyone knows, on the next show, we'll be discussing the on-air relationship between Amy Walsh and Jordan Wilson and how it's developing and if we even like it.
No. A lot of jealousy.
Yeah.
Oh,
because Dubs, but because of Jordan.
Yeah. I'm not feeling good about this at all, just so you know.
So you guys would like for me to go on air and be really stiff and not have chemistry with anybody?
Yes.
That would be good for Footy Prime, would it?
Yes.
It would be so good for Footy Prime.
Yes, you're so weird. We see the budding partnership developing between Wheels and Jimmy on Bundesliga games, right?
Yeah. Hey, next weekend, Jimmy, you're next weekend, Bundesliga?
I think so. Why are you on? To,
yeah.
Actually, no, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
No. I know. Yeah, I'm taking that.
Jimmy dangled that and then he took it away. Off.
Jimmy and Jimmy show again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well. What about on Sunday? You doing match night?
No, I'm not doing match night.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, Jimmy.
No.
That's why you've got to call Sharms.
Probably.
Because Jimmy's not there.
We'll see Sharms and Jordan. Maybe some chemistry. Well,
maybe.
Oh, lots of touching.
I worked with Jordan before.
Yeah. Oh, shut up, Jimmy.
Now, Dubs will be talking about it next week.
Yeah. And be flirting and stuff, you know, and trying to one-up Dubs the entire time. Mm.
Yeah, more puns.
That's right. Good luck.
I challenge you.
So stupid. Okay, well, that's probably enough. It's a broadcast coming up, though, which will be diving deeper into the women's game, in particular the Brazil match, presumably. NSL kicks off this weekend.
Mostly that. There'll be like a quick recap of the women's national team.
It won't be quick.
Shut up. We do like to gab, but and stereotypically, so it'll be mostly an NSL preview because that's kicking off. It's this week, April 24th, this Friday at Swangard's. We'll see a rematch of the final, AFC Toronto, now as the visitors to the Vancouver Rise. And then two more matches on the Saturday, the CBC match, which is Halifax versus Ottawa. And I'll be on that one for CBC, and then a later match on TSN. But that'll kick off the sophomore season. So looking forward to that. And we'll also have an interview with Jess DiFilippo from the Vancouver Rise dropping later this week.
And that's but the main broadcast is tomorrow?
Correct.
Excellent. All right. Look forward to it, everyone. Well, thank you. That was Footy Prime for another day as a new week begins. Please follow us on all our various platforms. Give us 5-star reviews. Leave us lots of comments. We've got another comment show coming up shortly when basically we forget to put a rundown together and we start panicking and need content. So thank you for that. Probably later this week, in fact. It's a busy one. But yeah, until then, thank you very much for watching and listening. Cheers for watching and listening. And right. Before I forget, the outro, Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
It John sounds Hamm, like a question mark. Oh, he's really good.
Shout out to Kyle Becker as well. Wishing him the best. Yeah. About a month ago, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And he looked as though he's got it early, and he's dealing with it really well. And yeah, wish him all the best.
Great interview on CBC actually late last week with Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's excellent. So I recommend you find that and watch that. We retweeted it, I think, from the Footy Prime platforms as well. So you can find it that way or just go to cbc.ca. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
I was waiting for Dubs to say something, but she gave a peace out.
You can make fun of Sharon for the watching and listening. And also, thank you, listening. Watching, listening.